Appreciate that. Mrs. Huber, I surrender all. Some of you can say that. I surrender all. What a great hymn of invitation, and at the same time, a great challenge to our hearts. Have I surrendered all to the Lord? Have I cut back a portion? Does He have my all? As we look here this morning, turn to Psalm 47, if you would. Psalm 47, as I said, we had a great week at Vacation Bible School. There was elephants, there was monkeys, and you wouldn't know it by the looks of the building now, but we made kind of changed locations a little bit and talked about a man lived late 1800s, died at 46 years of age. Gave his life. Did a bunch of study on him. I didn't see any wife or child. Gave his life to the Lord and was dedicated. His name was John Hyde. They nicknamed him in India Praying Hyde. They did that because of the amount of time that he spent in prayer. Saw many people come to Christ through his witness and through his prayer and his preaching. He said, though, more people came to know the Lord through his prayer than his preaching, which is a great, great example and encouragement to us. As we were studying the life of this man, but also we kind of turned our attention to a little bit of India. India has 1.4 billion people in it. Most of which, Brother Werner tells us, he gave us a video and showed us 80-some percent, low 80s, 82 to 83% are Hindu. Hindu believe in multiple gods. Anywhere, average Hindu could believe in somewhere close to 300,000 to a million different gods. They could be anything from a trinket of wood to a trinket of metal. I ask us this morning, how big is your God? How do you view God? As I think about the people of India and the heartbreak it is of the ignorance towards Jesus Christ, they just don't know. But we know. What have I done to God? Have I lessened Him in some way in my life? Have I made Him but a trinket? In Psalm 47, we don't normally do this, but if you're able to this morning, can you stand as we read the Scriptures? The title of this morning's message is The Great King. Psalm 47, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. Look at now. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Remain standing as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. God, forgive us for making you any less than the great King. Lord, forgive us. Lord, I pray that we'd have a better perspective of who you are today. We, in our minds and in our hearts, would exalt you to how you ought to be exalted. Lord, I pray that in our hearts this morning there would be a heart of praise and a heart of worship and a desire to serve you to the fullest. Lord, bless your preaching now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Our text verse this morning is Psalm 47 in verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king above all the earth. That word terrible, have you ever had a terrible meal? Well, let's not talk about it. The person who made it may be in the room. But that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about bad. In Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse 21, I'll read it to you. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty and terrible. What is terrible? Terrible means it's adapted to impress with awe and reverence. Just as the great Pastor Ackham would say, just wow. Right? Remember Brother Ackham? Psalm 99 and verse 3. It says, let them praise thy great and terrible name. And it says this phrase, for it is holy. That's our God this morning. Whether you acknowledge him or not, that's who he is. Remember a couple years ago, there was some complications with a certain election. And people were saying, well, that's not my president. Well, that's not my God. That's not the king. Oh, he's the king, all right. Whether you acknowledge it or not, the Lord Most High, he is terrible and a great king over all the earth. If you've ever done any study of England or within our scriptures, we're told of numbers of kings. Starting in 1 Samuel, we end with Samuel, and then we start with Saul and David and Solomon and then Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and that's when the kingdom splits. And now we're not just dealing with one kingdom, with two kingdoms and their interaction with other kings. There are some common things among kings. Number one, they have authority. They have a kingdom, they have thrones, they have laws, they have power, they have land, and they have subjects. And when we study through the book of Kings in our Bible, maybe the kings we're most familiar with, if I said, are you familiar with King Charles? And you would say, which one? King Charles IV or King Charles? You know, there's so many, you know, King Arthurs and King Richards. But if I said, tell me about Solomon. Oh, I could tell you about Solomon. Maybe you've studied more. Maybe you've studied on English kingdoms. But for sake of our study here today, as we look at our kings, sometimes they start off good. Like King Saul. Remember King Saul? God anointed him. God chose him. Samuel anointed him. And he was doing well for a while, but then he got a little big for his britches. You understand what I mean, Kaylee, when I say big for his britches? I'm not sure if he actually wore britches, but, you know. Got a little big for the position. Thought of himself a little highly. Thought of himself more higher than God in other positions, and he did things and held himself, unfortunately, not to the high standard that God did, and he didn't end well. Went a little mad, went a little crazy, got a little jealous. And king after king we read, and God is careful to point out their shortcomings. They all had authority, they all had a kingdom, they all had a throne. They all made laws. Sometimes they would continue in the laws, sometimes they would change the laws. As we read in the Kings, one king would say, I'm going to do that which is against the things of God. I'm going to follow after the ways of Belial. And then the next king would say, you know what, that didn't work out so well. I don't think that's right. I think we should follow after the things of God. And they were able to change the kingdom over. And they would take down all the high places that the bad king would raise up. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about here this morning? And as we study kings, we have to take a step back and understand that every human king is flawed. Why? Because they're sinners. They abuse these things. They abuse power. They abuse authority. They overtake kingdoms. They have corrupt laws. Their throne is a place of mockery to God sometimes. They cause their subjects, the people that live in their kingdom, to do wicked things. They would pass their children through fire and ungodly things. And then we reflect back to Psalm 47 and verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. In 1 Timothy, turn there. I want to show you a couple verses. I wanted to get out of the human kingdom and quickly move over to the heavenly kingdom. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 15, look at this great verse. If you underline in your Bible, I tell you all the time, if you do it, great, here's a good verse. Which in his times, 1 Timothy 6:15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. That means all power. And look at this phrase that God, Jesus Christ, has. The King of Kings. He's not just a king. He is the King of Kings. Amen. And the Lord of Lords. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 19. Hey, we're talking about the great King this morning. Your God. Revelation 19 verse 16. Jesus Christ shows up, returns. Hey, next on the horizon of the timeline of prophecy, we are living in the age of grace, Benjamin. And this is a time in which we are saved by grace through faith because of what Jesus Christ did. This is the best age to live. But the next thing to come is the rapture of the church. All those, whether dead or alive, that have made Jesus Christ their Savior will one day be raptured. Approximately 7 years later, Jesus Christ shall return. That's what we're reading about in Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, it says. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame. Hey, a little bit different than the Lamb of God. The one whose beard was plucked out. The one who would be smitten with shame. The one who would be nailed to a cross for your sin and mine. Oh, he comes back. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. That's what kings wear, crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. You and I show up. Right here, verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. I hope there's a training session on how to ride horses. I'm not big on 2,000-pound animals. I hope they give us just a quick run-through. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of the mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written. Hey, when you scan over this page, there are certain words that just jump out. Why? Because it's all in caps. It's almost like it's being shouted out. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but every government has some degree of corruptness. Say, not our government. Our government is pure as the driven snow. Well, you start peeling those things back. Hey, you understand that our government is there because God has allowed it, right? Not by surprise, not by chance, Romans chapter 13. You ought to pray for your government. Say, I don't agree with my government. Well, whether your guy's in or not, you ought to be praying for your government. local officials, state officials, nation officials. But you start pulling those things back. We were just studying in Sunday school class, and even the good guys had some corruptness to them. Hey, that guy's making me a little nervous. Let's kind of seclude him, or let's knock that guy off. You peel back the protection of our current government, and you see corruptness. You understand that Jesus Christ, God the Father, there is no corruptness. He is great. He is terrible. And He is the King of Kings. So let's examine Him for a moment. Because He does all things, listen, perfectly, the Bible says. He does all things perfectly. We'll look at that in a moment. Number one, He has all authority. Matthew 28. All kings have authority. Let me tell you about our great King, though. All kings have authority, but the great King, Matthew 28. So what's your point of the message? I want you to be in awe of your God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and just be, Lord, what can I do for you? Say, that's where we're going? That's where we're going. I just want to tell you about God as best as a mortal, finite, flawed, messed up sinner can from the Word of God. As best as I can. So I'm just going to use God's words and just tell them back to you. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. Tell me about His authority. He has all authority. We read in the book of Job where the devil himself has to come to the Father and say, can I do this? Am I allowed? Hey, maybe within your own home, every now and then the kids get a little confused as to who's in charge. Mom and Dad are in charge. And they'll start doing things and, hey, whoa, what are you doing there? Well, I just thought I could do that. Well, did you ask to do that? No, I thought you wanted the house painted. No, we have siding. We don't need. None of our children have done that. But they start doing things that how about the devil has to come to God and say, can I have permission? That's authority. That is the authority of your God. And now let's get that in our mind. See, He's the Creator. Go to Isaiah 45. This will help us. This will help the creature treat the Creator properly. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. Anybody see the sunset last night? Joe, did you see the sunset last night? That was nice, wasn't it? Tonight, maybe on a clear night, you lay out underneath a mosquito net and you look up and you see the beautiful stars and maybe a shooting star, the planets. You see something way out there and you're like, that's not a star. And you bring up your little app and you look and it's like, oh, that's Venus. How cool is that? I could see it with my naked eye there. You start watching videos and watching things about just how vast our universe is. How'd that all get there? It's all by chance. There's zero chance. Zero chance. God said, I'm going to put this right here, and I'm going to make it do this. And then I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to make it do that. And then I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to make it do this. And I'm going to take all this and make it do that. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. Hey, when you read that, do you think, I better listen? Because one with great authority is speaking. Or do we treat the Word of God like any other recommendation? No, when the Creator of the heavens speaks, we better be attentive because He has the highest of authority. God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and He says this, and there is none else. God in His authority is our Creator. And as a creature by the Creator, He has authority over me. He has authority over you. That's what kings have. They have authority. What they say goes. And then here's you and I trying to tell the Creator of the universe how to do things. There's you and I adjusting God's will for our life, thinking in some way that God, I know better than you know. Did we just read that right? See, when God is where He ought to be in our heart and mind, it just helps us in our position. When we make God great, you know what that does to us? Say, that lessens me. It makes me, yes. I'm actually somewhat insignificant. Well, God does have a purpose. It says that. He created it not in vain. You're here for a purpose. Say, what is my purpose? To glorify Him. He has authority over the creation. According to Mark chapter number 7 and verse 37, He does all things well. I don't know what the president's approval rating is, but a lot of people don't think the president is doing all things well. And so is every president. A president does great if he gets over 50% approval rating. Do you understand that God, in His perfection, does all things well? Amen. Whether you approve or not, He does things perfectly with all authority. Common thing amongst kings, they have authority. They also have thrones. Psalm 47, go back there, please. Think of Him what you will. I enjoy the preaching and teaching of Billy Graham. I like watching those campaigns back in the 50s, black and white, young man just laying into young people, telling them that God is the best way and the only way. That man, just a man, has had influence on our presidents. At his funeral, there was a line of former presidents that he gave biblical counsel to. If my phone rang and the president said, hey, I got some questions about some decisions I'm making. Oh, man. That's a great responsibility, but I'd be thrilled. I'd clear my schedule. I would tell everybody I know. Why? Because I'm going to talk with the president. Do you understand that the King of Kings wants to have a relationship with you? In Psalm 47, in verse 8, it says, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. His holiness. His holiness is beautiful. When we read in the scriptures, Grandpa Hayton and I, a few weeks back, were trying to make sense of what the throne of God looks like. we've concluded this. We don't understand it, but it's beautiful. There's a rainbow of emerald. I don't understand how that works. Because emerald is green, but I don't know. I'll tell you when I get there. But it says that his throne, he sits upon the throne of holiness. A throne isn't just about how long the king will reign, but how he reigns. And here he reigns with holiness. In Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 19, it says this, his throne will remain forever from generation to generation. As we read through the book of Kings, we read about kings that sometimes lasted a long time. King David reigned for 40 years. That's a long time. And then we read about some guys that reigned for but a couple years. Do you understand that the throne of God is an eternal throne? Look at 1 Kings chapter number 3. This is the throne of David of Solomon. Solomon was granted a gift from God. God actually discussed with Solomon, what is it that you would like? And Solomon, in his humility of heart, said, I don't know what I'm doing. I need wisdom. And God said, because you've asked that, I will give you not only that, but additional things. And one of the first examples we see is in 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse 16. Then there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one said, this is 1 Kings 3:17. The one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child and her with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And what happens is one of the children die, and then the other person takes that child and swaps them. And the one mother's like, the baby I have, and there's confusion as to whose baby it is. Solomon, in his wisdom, says, all right, here's what we'll do. We'll just cut the baby in half, and you get half, and you get half. And the woman whose child died said, yeah, that's fair. And the woman who knew that it was her baby, said, no. I allow her to have it that my child might live. And he said, okay, case closed. You are lying. You're telling the truth. Boom. Right? Isn't that what happens? Verse 28, and Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Say, well, why are you bringing this to our attention? Because some people came before the throne looking for help. And you know, as the great king say, I'd love to be able to go to the throne. The Buckingham Palace, I'd love to be able to see the queen, well, the king of England now. And do you understand that you could go before the throne of the King of Kings? Do you understand that you could stand before the holy throne? Do you understand that you could stand before the eternal throne of God? Say, how is it? Where is it located? What's the GPS location? Hebrews chapter number 4. Say, I need help. I need to get to the king. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 16. And let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The way we come before the throne of God in Hebrews 4:16 is through prayer. And we can become before that holy, eternal, righteous throne. And we can get help, it says. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Just like those two ladies were able to come before the throne of Solomon and get help that day. Well, one got help. One was exposed as a liar. I wonder if that's why we are hesitant to come before the throne of God. I don't want to go stand before the king. Why not? Are you lying? Is there sin in your life? Will he expose you? Say, I need help. Well, why don't you come and find mercy? Why don't you help and find grace? That's what's available at the throne of God. It is a holy throne. It is a beautiful throne. And help is offered to you and I. All kings have a kingdom. All kings have authority. All kings have a throne. But our great King executes those positions perfectly. Perfectly. Not only does God have all authority, not only does he have a holy throne, but he has power. Power goes hand in hand with his authority. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. I never had the privilege of having an older brother. And I'm the oldest of four children, and I'm not sure by my physique and stature did my sister ever say, wait till my older brother hears about this, because, well, just didn't have quite the muscle or the teeth to those threats. Didn't quite have the power. In Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 16, it says this, for by him were all things created. We saw that in Isaiah 45. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He has all power. And because of that power, look at Romans chapter number 1. The Bible says we are without excuse. As we just read those things, let us remember that verse that we just read in Colossians chapter number 1, that he made all things and those things are for him. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Hey, when you look out and you see all these things working, you're watching the stars move and you're seeing how this is all held together and you think, wow, this is such a big system. Surely one of great power controls that and has made that. The Bible says that you are without excuse. Without excuse. God has told us how it is. He's given us the information. He has the power. Say, well, I'm just not in on that. You are without excuse. His eternal power. And because of his strength, this is a blessing. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. I was telling the young people, or the people out on visitation yesterday, I am 45 years old. And some of you may scoff at that and laugh at that, but I have noticed that it takes me longer to recall information. It's in there, I know it, but it bothers me when I can't get it from here to here. Like I'll forget a person's name, or I forget an event in the past. And if I know that I know it, I really focus in on trying to remember it. I don't want to lose or forget things. I'm tempted to start doing crosswords. I don't know. I guess it could be worse. Dementia? I don't know. Every day's a new day, right? It's the same day. I don't know. Those that suffer from dementia, I know it's difficult on the family. But I want to do my best to keep my mind as long as I can. Say, we've had some questions, Pastor. I understand. Say, why are you telling us that? Because there is one thing that you don't ever want to forget. Say, what is that? He's the King of Kings. You don't ever want to get over the power and the authority of God. If you lose that thought, you start acting all squirrely. When there is a nation that has no authority, we call that anarchy, ladies. That is a form of government. no government. And when you and I as Christians take God off his throne and say, you know what, you just don't have jurisdiction. You don't have power in my life anymore. You no longer have authority to tell me what to do. You are living in anarchy. And that is a very dangerous place. Don't forget this important principle. Say, what is it? That your God is the great King. Because when we lose our awe and wonderment of God, we start acting squirrely. Ephesians chapter 6, look at this great encouraging verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong and in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hey, because of God's power, you know what? That his strength becomes our strength. Isn't that a blessing? The power and might of God. Say, what can I do with that? Well, it's not for you. It's for his honor and his glory. But then we act in his strength. See, I'm very limited. But God, he is unlimited. All kings, they have authority, they have power, they have thrones. And lastly, what's a king without subjects? The Bible says in, well, go back to Psalm 47. In verse 3, Psalm 47 and verse 3, and we're almost done. Psalm 47 and verse 3, it says, he shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Hey, God's in charge. That means we serve him as the king. Kings have subjects, and those subjects serve him. Psalm 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. How could you not serve a God with gladness? Serve the God of the Bible, God of all creation, the God that has never done anything wrong. In perfection, no hidden agenda, no, hey, we peel this back, we find corruption. Not a bit, just perfect righteousness and holiness. Well, I want to serve him with gladness. Do you understand it is a privilege to serve the Lord? 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us it is worthwhile, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, can I ask you here today? Listen up. What are you doing for the Lord? That doesn't give you righteousness. But in response to his position, are you serving the king? Are you serving the king? In Romans chapter number 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. God says that's reasonable. That's your reasonable service. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, look there. 2 Corinthians 9. In verse 7. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hey, if he likes service, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. He likes a cheerful giver, not just of our money, but of our life. What's the most valuable thing you own? It's you. Are you going to use that for the Lord? I don't know. The King of Kings? You won't find a better king. These verses give us a good idea how the Lord is pleased by our service to him. By giving ourselves to him. To serving him with gladness. I don't understand how you can serve him in misery. Look at all that he's done for us. Hey, you remember that you're just a sinner saved by grace? You don't belong here. We don't belong. We don't deserve all of this. And yet the King of Kings says, no, come on close. Come before the throne. I have something for you. I have mercy. I have grace. As subjects, we are to serve him. We are to worship him. We read that over and over again in Psalm 47. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. What is worship? It is acknowledging of God's position as the King of our life. Oh, worship the King. Oh, another light's out. Oh, glorious. I wonder what time he's going to be done today. Are you worshiping the King of Kings? Don't lose this. Don't lose this thought. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the great King. And we are to serve Him. We are to worship Him. We're to obey Him. We're to find out what He says and do those things. Working through the holy leading of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of Christ through daily through our... Do you know that the Lord has a lesson for you to learn today? Say, what is it? Well, you better read the book. You're not going to learn unless you read. I was listening to a story this past week. Two guys that met in kindergarten when they were 5 years old in East Rochester. They're 97 years old and still best friends. They have been for all their life. And you know what they said? They love reading. They love learning. Hey, how about you? We complain that our life is in disorder. Well, have you read what Christ wants you to do? My life's a mess, Pastor. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Come before the throne and get some help. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in your heart and do what the Scripture tells us. Well, I got a better way. You just took the King off the throne. You just said, move over, I know better. Don't lose this thought. We are subjects, and as subjects in His kingdom, we are to serve Him, we are to worship Him, and we are to obey Him. And you know what? He doesn't force us to do any of those things. It is completely voluntary. And that's what He's most pleased with. If I could encourage you, invite others into the kingdom. I tease I live in the greatest country in the world. But there's a greater kingdom than this place. There's a greater kingdom. There's a greater government. It is, I'm going to put myself under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, my citizenship to Christ is far higher than mine to the United States. I pledge my allegiance to the King, the great King. Last verse, Psalm 95. Psalm 95. In verse 3, I'm going to ask you that question again now as we conclude our message. How big is your God? How big is He? The Bible says in Psalm 95 and verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Is that who He is to you today? Is that who He is to you today? If so, are you serving Him? How do you serve Him? You serve Him by serving others. You love Him by loving others. Is there a love for Him in your heart? Do you worship Him? Well, it's hard for me to worship the Lord. I'm just not good at singing. Do you understand what worship is? It's an acknowledging of God's position as the King of our life. I don't care if it's off key or what. You worship the Lord. Why? Because He's the great King. In the book of Daniel, we saw Nebuchadnezzar. He made an image. You know what he wanted? He wanted worship. You know what God wants? God wants our worship. And He's jealous if it goes anywhere else. Are you obeying Him? Can you say that God is a great God and a great King above all gods. Say, I don't belong in this kingdom. None of us do. And yet he invited us all in. So how do I get citizenship of the United States? Well, there's these courses, and you got to do the stuff, and then you got to pledge and pay some money, I think. Well, how do I get part of the kingdom of God? Just ask. Just ask him. He's actually invited you. Would you please come? Let's all stand this morning. Hey, there's a lot of things we can forget. Maybe one day we're going to forget our house number. Maybe one day we'll forget our social. Maybe we'll forget what it was. Of things that we used to remember. But there is one thing that we cannot forget. That God is a great King. In a moment, the music's going to play. And I invite you to come present yourself to the King. To the King of Kings and say, God, I just publicly want to acknowledge that you are my Savior and I want to serve you at this old-fashioned altar. Now I'm going to stay in my seat. Okay. But let's remember that let's please God on His terms, not ours. Let's be careful that when we're not telling as the creature to the Creator how to run things. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ to save you. How about today? You're a sinner. Say, no, I'm a good person. Good people sin. We're all sinners. And we've all come short of the glory of God. So today, why don't you just come to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you please forgive me of my sin? I put my faith and trust in you. You are the only way to heaven, and I call upon you to be my Savior. Please forgive me. Maybe you could do that this morning. If you've never done that before, you only have to do it once. And then eternal citizenship in the kingdom of God. Maybe since then you've kind of deserted serving Him. I serve Him, but not with gladness. Maybe you need to adjust that this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that we would never lose that view of who you are, the great King. Lord, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. As you've worked in my heart, I pray that those other hearts that you've touched this morning, that they would not just be hearers of your word, but doers. Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask that you'd maybe come forward as the music plays, that God would continue to work in your heart. Maybe you would serve Him to the fullest. Maybe you just want to come talk to the Lord. Maybe just thank God. God, I don't belong here, but thank you for saving me.